All right, let's dive into Coming Together by Danielle Harrell and Celeste Hirschman. This book, it's really shaking things up. It's not your typical relationship advice. You know, it goes way deeper into like what actually gets us going, what makes us feel aroused, and how to have that like really deep sexual compatibility with a partner. We're going to be talking about understanding your like deepest desires and actually turning those into your hottest fantasies.
You know, I think what's really cool about this book, it's not just about techniques or anything like that. It's about real intimacy, self-discovery, and really connecting on a deeper level.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so let's unpack one of the main ideas here, this concept of core desires. Mm-hmm. Have you ever like really sat down and thought about what specific feelings make you feel turned on? I think, you know, we often think about it as just a physical attraction thing, but this is about figuring out like those specific emotions that unlock your erotic potential.
Yeah, and the book really stresses that these core desires, they're super personal.
Yeah.
And they can be totally different for everyone.
Exactly. And they even have this exercise called like the erotic breath to help you connect with those feelings. But here's where it gets really interesting. The book gives all these examples of different core desires, and they're all over the place, like feeling loved and adored, impactful, safe and enveloped, naughty, even ravaged. The variety is incredible. It really makes you realize how unique we all are.
And that's a key takeaway. There's no right or wrong. And I think that can be so freeing to finally feel like you can just embrace your true self, even the parts that maybe you've felt like you had to hide or that felt taboo.
Yeah, totally. But how do we actually take these core desires and make them like a reality? That's where this idea of your hottest sexual movie comes in, right?
Exactly. It's like you're taking your core desires and you're making this like ideal erotic scene, a fantasy. It has all the elements that would make it truly fulfilling for you. You know, specific acts, words, touch, even like locations and settings.
I love that visual of a movie. And the book gives some pretty wild examples too. You know, we read about a woman who wants to feel special through romantic gestures. And then there's another woman who wants to feel that way, but through like dominance and submission. Then there's this guy who fantasizes about group sex, but it turns out like what he really wants is that feeling of togetherness and harmony.
And that example is so interesting because it turns out this guy's longing for harmony, it came from growing up in a really dysfunctional family. His fantasy, it wasn't just about sex. It was like a way to try and heal from that pain, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that is powerful. It really shows how our fantasies can be about like so much more than just, you know, the physical act itself. Another one that really stuck with me was this couple who wants to feel like partners in crime by having sex in public. I never thought about it that way, but for them, it's about that sense of like adventure and breaking the rules together.
Absolutely. And then there's this woman who feels most fulfilled when she's wearing lingerie, feeling precious, special, and ravaged. And remember, Margot, water was like a really crucial part of her fantasy. She wanted to feel like safe and enveloped. And for her, the ideal scenario was in a stream. It's so cool how these like simple elements can hold so much meaning for people.
These examples are so vivid. It really shows how unique and specific our hottest sexual movies can be.
Yeah.
But, all right, here's the tough part. What happens when you and your partner have totally different core desires and hottest sexual movies?
Mm.
Like, how do you even begin to make that work? It seems like that could lead to a major disconnect.
It can definitely be a challenge. And the book acknowledges that this is like a super common issue for couples. But what's important to remember is that just because you have different desires doesn't mean you're not compatible or that there's no love there.
Okay, so how do you bridge that gap then? Let's be real. No one wants to feel like their needs are being ignored in a relationship, especially when it comes to something as intimate as sex.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book introduces this idea of bridging. Basically, it's about finding creative ways to take elements of both of your fantasies, you know, and incorporate them into your sexual experiences together. It's like building a bridge between those two different desires to create something that feels satisfying for both of you.
I like that. Can you give us some real life examples of how this bridging actually plays out? I think our listeners are probably eager to see how this works in practice.
Sure. So one example that comes to mind is this couple who worked out this whole bondage scene. The woman's core desire was to feel tenderness and specialness, while her partner was more focused on the, you know, the act of restraint itself.
Okay, so those desires sound like pretty far apart at first glance. How did they make that work?
They shifted the focus. So instead of just focusing on the ropes and the physical act, they made it about how she was feeling during the scene, her feelings of preciousness. Her partner really focused on words and gestures that emphasized that she was special to him, which helped them bridge their desires. It wasn't about either of them compromising their individual needs, but rather about finding a way to integrate them in a way that worked for both of them.
I love that example. It's not about one person giving up what they want, but more about finding a way for both people to feel satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other ways to bridge besides, you know, finding that common ground within your existing fantasies?
Absolutely. The book also talks about like discovering totally new fantasies together. Sometimes you got to just explore uncharted territory, you know, and that can lead to all sorts of new and exciting discoveries as a couple.
That's awesome. It's like opening up a whole new world of possibilities.
Yeah.
But what about those times when bridging just feels like impossible? You know, when the desires are so different that they just don't seem compatible. Does the book have any advice for those situations?
It does. Coming together suggests that in those cases, using solo fantasies or even shared fantasies, like while we're having sex, can be a way to like bridge those desires without literally acting everything out. It allows you to honor those individual needs while still staying connected and intimate.
That's a really practical solution.
Yeah.
It lets you explore your own fantasies, but still be present with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine even with all these techniques, you know, sexual challenges can still pop up, right?
Oh, of course. Challenges are going to come up in any relationship. But what's cool here is that, like, understanding your core desires gives you this framework for dealing with those challenges.
And this is where I think our listeners are really going to lean in. Can you give us some concrete examples of how this can help people overcome those common sexual challenges?
For sure. The book has this story of a guy struggling with what people call psychological erectile dysfunction. It turned out that his core desire was to be seduced, but he was always the one initiating. Once he realized that, he started letting the women he was dating take the lead, and that actually made a huge difference.
So it wasn't a physical problem.
Yeah.
It was more about how he was approaching sex that didn't match up with his desire.
Exactly. And then there's this other great example of a woman who was dealing with low desire. She like couldn't figure out why because her partner was really kind and attentive and everything. But it turned out her core desire was to feel innocent during sex. And her partner, he was always asking for consent and being super polite, but that actually was working against her arousal.
Wow, that's interesting. So once they changed things up to fit her need for feeling innocent, her desire came back.
Yeah, exactly. It just goes to show how important it is to like really understand those underlying emotional needs that fuel our arousal and not just make assumptions. And the book also tackles things like differences in like how intense people want things to be. There's this couple, the guy wanted like passionate sex and the woman wanted something more caring and gentle.
Yeah, that sounds like it could lead to some conflict. Did they figure out a way to bridge that gap?
They did. They started using this like turn-taking model, and that really helped them create space for both of their needs. It wasn't about one person's desire being right or wrong. It was about finding a way to make them both feel seen and satisfied.
That's so encouraging. It shows that even when you have desires that seem like they're totally at odds, you can still find ways to create a fulfilling sexual experience together.
Yeah.
But I imagine that open and honest communication is like key to making all of this work.
Oh, 100%. Communication is like the bedrock of sexual compatibility. And the good news is coming together has some great tips on how to talk about this stuff, you know, constructively and even playfully.
Oh, I'm all ears. Because let's be honest, these conversations can be awkward, even a little scary for some people.
Totally. One thing the book emphasizes is using, like, feeling words when you're talking about your desires. Instead of just stating facts, try expressing how something makes you feel.
So instead of saying, "I want you to touch me here," you might say something like, "It makes me feel so desired when you touch me here."
Exactly. It's a subtle shift in language, but it can make a huge difference in how your partner receives the message.
That makes sense. What other communication tips does the book offer?
Well, it also talks about giving feedback in a gentle and specific way. Like if it's not working for you, instead of just saying you don't like it, try focusing on what you did enjoy and then offer a specific suggestion for what you'd like to be different.
I see. So it's about approaching it as a team, working together to figure out what feels good for both of you and not just criticizing or shutting things down.
Exactly. And there's this other great tip about teaching each other experientially. So instead of trying to explain something with words, show your partner what you like. You know, you could guide their hand or demonstrate a certain touch.
I love that. It seems so much more effective than just trying to talk about it abstractly.
Totally. It lets couples explore and learn together in a safe and sensual way. But it's important to remember that this learning process, it's ongoing. Yeah. Desires change and evolve, so communication needs to be a constant thing throughout the relationship.
That's such an important reminder. It takes the pressure off of having to figure everything out perfectly right away. But I'm curious, what does it actually look like to communicate your hottest sexual movie to a partner? Like, how do you even begin to put that into words?
Well, coming together says to be really specific and detailed. So, for example, a man who wants to feel cared for might describe a scene where his partner, like, draws him a bath, lights candles, gives him a massage, and uses touch and words to make him feel pampered and adored.
That's so much more helpful than just saying, I want to feel cared for. The details really bring it to life and make it easier for the partner to understand what would truly make him feel fulfilled.
Right. And a woman who wants to feel dominant might describe a scene where she's in control, giving instructions, maybe using toys or restraints. It's about being honest about what really turns you on, even if it feels a little taboo or outside of your comfort zone.
These examples are so powerful. It really shows how specificity can take the guesswork out of it and lead to a much more fulfilling experience for both partners.
And it's important to remember that sharing these fantasies is a really vulnerable thing. It's about trust. So creating a safe and non-judgmental space is super important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about creating a space where both partners feel comfortable expressing their authentic desires without fear of being shamed or rejected.
Exactly. That acceptance is crucial for building deeper intimacy and connection.
This book is honestly blowing my mind. It's packed with such insightful concepts and practical advice. I'm already feeling inspired to rethink my own approach to intimacy and communication. Before we wrap up this part of our deep dive into coming together, I want to circle back to the idea of overcoming sexual challenges. You know, the book talks about a lot of different challenges, especially those that come from not having your hottest sexual movie met.
That's a great point. And it's important to remember that these challenges, they're way more common than people realize. People often suffer in silence because it feels taboo to talk about.
You're right. So let's talk about it. Can you give our listeners some specific examples?
Sure. Let's start with psychological erectile dysfunction, which we've touched on briefly before. The book tells the story of this guy, Alex, who at first he blamed the woman he was dating for being too passive because he couldn't maintain an erection with new partners. But after exploring his core desires, he realized that what he really longed for was to be seduced.
And once he understood that, he was able to change the way he approached dating.
Exactly. He started creating opportunities for the women to take the lead in seducing him. And that really helped him experience the feeling he was craving and overcome his ED.
That's a really amazing example of how understanding your desires can actually lead to real, practical solutions for sexual challenges. What other challenges does the book address?
Another common one is low desire. A lot of times people just chalk that up to stress, hormones, or problems in the relationship. But coming together suggests that sometimes low desire happens because the sex you're having just isn't lining up with your core desires.
So it's not that you're not attracted to your partner or that there's a medical problem. It's that what you're actually experiencing sexually isn't what truly turns you on.
Exactly. And there's this story in the book about a woman named Jessica. She was struggling with low desire, and she just couldn't understand why, especially since she had a really great partner who was attentive and caring. But it turned out that her core desire was to feel innocent.
Which meant that her partner, always asking for consent and being super polite, that was actually making things worse for her.
Exactly. Once they shifted things around to incorporate her need for feeling innocent, her desire came roaring back.
That's fascinating. It really shows how we need to move beyond assumptions and get to the heart of what's driving our arousal.
Absolutely. And the book goes into other challenges too, like porn dependence and sexless marriages. And it shows how this framework of core desires and hottest sexual movies can help couples work through a whole range of issues. You know, we should probably touch on porn dependence.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. And it's something we definitely need to approach carefully, right?
Totally. It's not about, like, judging anyone or their choices. It's just, it's not even like an official diagnosis or anything, but it's becoming more and more of a concern for some people, especially men, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, with porn being so easily accessible these days, it can be easy to get caught in this cycle of needing more and more intense stuff to get off. And that can actually make it harder to like feel aroused in real life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how does coming together deal with this? Because it seems like the whole point of the book is to like embrace your fantasies, not shut them down, Right.
Exactly. And the book isn't saying you have to quit porn altogether or anything. It's more about like encouraging people to really look at the reasons why they're using it so much, you know? Like what's really going on beneath the surface.
I see what you mean. It's about understanding the root of the behavior, not just the behavior itself. Like, have you ever stopped to think about, like, why you're drawn to certain fantasies and not others? It's not always obvious at first glance.
You got it. Sometimes, like, people are using porn to escape from something, you know, like emotional pain or loneliness. So, in those cases, it's about dealing with those deeper issues first, finding healthier ways to cope.
It's almost like using porn as a band-aid for a deeper wound, you know?
Yeah, perfect analogy. And coming together suggests that by, like, exploring your core desires and figuring out your hottest sexual movie, you can find healthier ways to actually get those needs met in your real life, you know?
So instead of searching for that, like, intense hit through Charn, you could focus on creating a more fulfilling experience with a partner who actually gets you, who understands and embraces your desires.
Exactly. And it also emphasizes the importance of being like mindful about your porn use. If you're going to watch it, do it intentionally. Pay attention to how it makes you feel. If it lines up with your values, your desires, don't just zone out, you know?
That's such good advice. It's about taking control,
Yeah.
not letting it control you. Now, let's switch gears for a sec. Let's talk about another challenge that tons of couples face, and that's sexless marriages or even just relationships where the spark has like fizzled out.
Yeah, it's definitely something people don't talk about enough, even though it's incredibly common.
It's like this taboo subject. People keep it hush-hush, even though it's happening to so many people.
And coming together has this interesting take on it. They say that a lot of times when couples have less sex or just isn't as satisfying anymore, it's because they're not in sync with their core desires anymore. They've fallen into a routine or they just assume they know what the other person wants, and that can kill the erotic connection over time.
So it might not be about lack of love or attraction. It's that the sex they're having just doesn't line up with what each person actually desires. And that's where all these tools from the book can really come in handy, right?
Totally. By exploring their core desires and their hottest sexual movies, couples can figure out what really turns them on and then start creating those experiences, make it exciting and fulfilling for both people again.
I love that. It's like reigniting the flame by going back to basics,
Yeah.
really understanding each other on a deeper level.
Exactly. And what's really cool is that coming together emphasizes that this process of like rediscovering and reconnecting sexually, it can actually make the whole relationship stronger.
How so?
Because when you open up and talk honestly about your desires and fantasies, it creates this like deeper level of intimacy and trust. It makes you feel more vulnerable with each other, and that can be incredibly bonding.
It's almost like taking what feels like a negative thing, a sexless marriage, and turning it into this opportunity to grow closer. It's not an ending, it's a new beginning.
Yeah, I like that way of looking at it. And the book doesn't just throw these concepts at you and leave you hanging. It gives you real practical advice on how to have these conversations, how to create a space where you can explore and experiment as a couple.
It all sounds so good in theory. But I bet it can feel really daunting to actually put this stuff into practice,
Yeah.
especially for couples who've been stuck in a rut for a while. Like, where do you even start?
It definitely can feel overwhelming, and the book acknowledges that. But it also reminds you that this whole journey to better sexual compatibility, it's a process. It's not about reaching some like perfect end goal. It's about taking small steps, communicating openly, and being patient with yourselves and each other.
It's good to hear. It takes the pressure off. You don't have to make huge changes overnight.
Right. It's about making small tweaks over time and seeing what works. But I know what you're thinking. What about when you and your partner just have different desires? We talked about that. Not every couple is going to have perfectly matching fantasies. So how do you deal with that?
That's the big question. How do you make it work when you want different things?
That's where bridging comes in. It's all about being creative, finding solutions. Coming together actually goes into different ways you can bridge those desires. It gives couples options, you know, to find common ground and create something fulfilling, even if their initial fantasies seem totally different.
Okay, I'm really curious about these different approaches. Can you give us a sneak peek? What are some of the ways you can bridge those desires?
Yeah, sure. One way is to look for overlap in your existing fantasies. So let's say one partner wants to be dominant and the other wants to feel like tenderness.
Those seem pretty opposite.
They do, but they can find a bridge by incorporating elements of both. Like the dominant partner could use a gentle touch or say reassuring things while they're exploring those power dynamics, you
Ah,
know?
I see. So it's about finding those nuances that can work for both people.
Exactly. It takes some creativity, a willingness to think outside the box a little. Another option is to like come up with a totally new fantasy together, something that speaks to both of your core desires.
So instead of trying to force your existing fantasies to fit together, you create something new and exciting as a couple.
Precisely. There's this couple in the book, Angelina and Dana. Angelina had just discovered she could have multiple orgasms, and she wanted to explore that with Dana. But Dana, well, she wasn't really into sex at all at that point.
Oh, wow, that sounds tough. So how did they make that work? Did they find a solution?
They did. They talked it through, were open to trying new things, and they actually discovered they were both interested in, like, degradation fantasies.
And that's a surprise.
Yeah.
They found common ground in a place they weren't expecting at all.
Exactly. It just goes to show how important it is to keep an open mind and step outside your comfort zone sometimes. You never know what you might find out about yourself or your partner.
Totally. And it reminds us that our desires are complex, you know, where there's always more to explore.
For sure. Another way to bridge those desires is through solo or shared fantasies, but like during sex.
Okay, I'm not sure I follow. What does that mean exactly?
Well, sometimes, you know, one partner might have a fantasy that the other person just isn't comfortable acting out in real life.
You mean like if someone has a fantasy that their partner just finds unacceptable, or maybe they're just not interested in participating in?
Right. Like, in the book, there's this couple, Sudeet and Arthi. Sudeet had these fantasies about group sex, but Arthi was completely against it. But instead of just shutting down his fantasy completely, they found a way to bridge that gap by, like, telling stories during sex. So Sudeet could sort of, like, tap into his desire in a way that felt safe and consensual while still respecting Arthi's boundaries.
That's so creative. It gave Sudeet a way to experience a version of his fantasy while still staying connected to Arthi.
Exactly. It just shows how important it is to find those creative compromises, to honor each other's boundaries. And that actually brings us to another really important idea in coming together, and that's the turn-taking model.
Okay, tell me more about this. I feel like this could be a game changer for couples who are struggling to make their different desires work.
Yeah, it definitely can be. Turn-taking basically means that you set aside specific times to, like, fully indulge in each partner's hottest sexual movie. It's about creating a structure where each person gets to experience their ideal scenario, knowing that their needs and desires are going to be met and prioritized.
So it's almost like making a schedule for your fantasies, where each partner gets their turn to have their needs fulfilled.
Yeah, exactly. There's this couple in the book, Brenda and Anders. Brenda was all about novelty and spontaneity. She liked to switch things up. But Anders, he was super into bondage, but he liked it very specific, very ritualistic. Yeah. So their desires were basically opposite.
Yeah, that does sound hard to reconcile in a single sexual encounter.
It was. At first, they tried to just like mix in elements of each other's fantasies into their regular sex life, but that ended up being really frustrating. They both felt like they were compromising, like they weren't being fully seen or understood.
I can see how that wouldn't work.
Yeah, it didn't. But then they discovered the turn-taking model.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed them to both like really embrace their individual desires without feeling like they were giving anything up. It created this space where they could both feel completely satisfied.
This turn-taking thing is genius. It's so practical and respectful. It's a great way to deal with differences in desire.
I know, right? It really highlights the whole message of the book, you know, open communication, finding those creative solutions. But one thing to keep in mind is that turn-taking isn't about creating these rigid rules or shutting down spontaneity completely. It's more about creating a foundation where both people feel satisfied, but there's still room for flexibility and exploration. You can still be spontaneous, you can still share fantasies, but the underlying principle is respect for each other's individual needs and desires.
I love that. This whole conversation is making me really rethink my own approach to intimacy and communication. Coming together is such a great resource. It's full of practical tools to create more fulfilling sexual experiences, both on your own and as a couple. One last thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap up, and that's the book's emphasis on boundaries.
Oh, yeah. Boundaries are essential for any healthy relationship, especially when it comes to sex.
Absolutely. And Coming Together spends a good chunk of time talking about boundaries, both in and out of the bedroom. Why is that so important, do you think?
Well, because boundaries are all about, like, protecting yourself, you know? It's about maintaining your self-respect, your safety, your emotional well-being. And that goes for your partner, too. When you set boundaries, you're basically drawing a line and saying, this is what I'm okay with, and this is what I'm not. And when both people feel safe and respected, that opens up so much more possibility for exploration and pleasure.
That makes total sense. And communication is key, right? Because even when everyone has good intentions, misunderstandings can still happen.
For sure. And coming together actually gives some great advice on how to communicate those boundaries effectively. Like, use clear and direct language, don't guilt trip or give ultimatums, and be willing to say no without apologizing.
It's about being empowered, right? Owning your desires and your limits and creating a dynamic where you both feel heard and respected.
Exactly. And it's not just about setting your own boundaries. It's also about respecting your partner's boundaries, even if they don't perfectly match up with your own desires. It's about understanding that you are two separate people with your own unique needs and limits.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's about creating a space where you can both be yourselves, your authentic selves, without fear of judgment or pressure.
Beautifully said. And it's important to remember that boundaries can change over time, you know? So staying open and being willing to renegotiate is key for a healthy, fulfilling sexual relationship. What feels good today might not feel good tomorrow, and that's okay. The important thing is to stay connected and keep talking to each other.
That's such a good point. This whole conversation is making me realize how important it is to approach intimacy as a team, you know? Working together to create an experience that feels good for everyone involved. But I imagine that navigating boundaries can be especially tricky when you're exploring new fantasies or trying new things. Is there a way to make that process less scary or intimidating?
Definitely. Coming together suggests that couples check in with each other regularly, ask questions, and be willing to adjust things as you go. It's about creating this, like, safe space to experiment and explore where both people feel comfortable saying what they need and what their limits are without feeling judged.
So it's not about having all the answers right away. It's more about, like, approaching it with an open mind, being curious, and willing to learn and adapt.
Yes. Think of it like a shared adventure where you're both discovering new things together. And remember, the journey can be just as fun as the destination.
This has been such an insightful conversation. Coming together offers so much knowledge, so many practical tools to transform how we think about intimacy and sex. It's more than just like a how-to guide. It's about deeper connection with yourself and your partner. Before we wrap up this deep dive, there was one last thing from the book that really resonated with me.
Oh, I'm curious. What was it?
I really like what they said about teaching and learning within a relationship. It's not just about telling your partner what you want. It's also about being open to learning about their needs and helping them get those needs met too.
Absolutely. Coming together actually gives you concrete tips on how to do this in a way that feels good for both people. It's about sharing your knowledge and your pleasure, creating a dynamic of mutual growth, you know.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. What are some of those tips?
Well, for one, it encourages what they call teaching experientially, which means like showing your partner what you like instead of just explaining it with words.
That seems so much more effective than just trying to describe it.
It is. It's also super important to give feedback in a way that's gentle and specific. Focus on what you enjoyed, but also be honest about what you'd like to see changed.
It's about making it a positive experience,
mm-hmm.
working together to find what feels best instead of placing blame or criticizing each other.
Exactly. And coming together really emphasizes the importance of patience and playfulness throughout this whole process. Learning new skills, especially when it comes to sex, it takes time and practice. It's not about getting it perfect right away. It's about enjoying the journey together.
Yeah, I love that. It makes it less scary, you know? It lets you laugh a little, embrace those awkward moments that are going to happen when you're learning something new.
Exactly. You can approach this whole thing with curiosity, adventure, a sense of fun. That's really what coming together is all about. Embracing the joy of sex, exploring your sexuality, and finding ways to connect with your partner on a deeper level.
You know, it's like this book is giving us this whole new vocabulary for talking about intimacy and desire.
Yeah.
It's definitely given me a lot to think about, both for myself and my relationships.
It really is. It's such a powerful book. And I think one of the biggest takeaways is that it gives us permission to, like, be ourselves, you know, to embrace all those parts of ourselves that maybe we've been told are weird or wrong.
Yeah. Like, it takes all the shame out of desire and tells you it's okay to explore those parts of yourself without judgment. And when you do that, it creates so much space for deeper intimacy and connection with your partner.
Absolutely. And it's not about trying to force your partner to fit into your fantasies or the other way around. It's about finding that balance, that sweet spot where both of you feel seen and heard and satisfied. It's about creating an experience that's truly fulfilling for both of you together.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening. It's really shifted my perspective on intimacy and relationships. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask, what's the one message you hope our listeners take away from all of this, from our exploration of coming together?
That's a good question. I think the most important thing to remember is that sexual fulfillment is a journey, not a destination. It's about staying curious, staying open, and always learning and growing, both as individuals and as a couple.
I love that. It takes the pressure off having to be perfect, you know? And it encourages us to embrace the messiness, those awkward parts of figuring things out together.
Exactly. And it's okay to ask for help along the way. Coming together is a great resource, but there are also therapists, coaches, workshops. There are so many resources out there. The key is to be proactive, advocate for your needs.
This whole conversation has been so inspiring. Thank you for being here and sharing your insights with us. I know our listeners are going to get so much out of this.
It was my pleasure. I always love these conversations. And remember, the journey to deeper intimacy and sexual fulfillment, it all starts with that first step. Be kind to yourselves. Be open to learning, and most importantly, have fun exploring.
That is the perfect advice to end on. To all our listeners out there, go check out Coming Together by Danielle Harrell and Celeste Hirschman and start your own journey of discovery. And as always, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep embracing the joy of knowledge. Until next time, happy deep diving.